We are not saying love is not important.
It's not necessary.
But we are saying love someone, but when that love it doesn't feel the same way, it's not reason for you to leave. If you don't feel butterflies anymore, if you don't have, you know, that feeling that you used to have.
The feelings Pindi always have in our last 40 years.
You know, those feelings. You don't have to pack your bags.
Our guests on today's Focus on the Family are great advocates for marriage. And as you heard in the clip, they understand that marriage is so much more than a feeling of love. It's all about commitment and it takes work. We'll hear some of the lessons they've learned about marriage along the way as we chat about their own experience of marriage and of helping other married couples in their ministry. And we had some fun because this was recorded in Pretoria at a live event. I'm Alison Schnell and your host is Focus on the Family Africa CEO, Graham Schnell.
Alison, we're all about family here at Focus, and we know how vital family is for the individual, for society, just on every level. And yet we do often even joke a little bit about the fact that although this thing of marriage and family is so important, there's no test that has to be written. There's no certificate to achieve. People can just go and get married and have kids. And we're certainly all for marriage and parenting, and we're not talking about introducing some test that needs to be passed. But the truth is that we tend to learn a lot about marriage only when we're in it. And I don't think that would go so well if we applied the same methodology to driving a car.
You are so right. And that would be very dangerous. We are great advocates for premarital counseling. It's vital to marriage because although we'll never learn everything before getting married, we want to be as prepared as possible.
Yeah, and we want to keep on learning and investing in our marriage, almost like renewing a driver's test.
Yeah, well, our guests today are all about marriage, preparing for and thriving in marriage. And much of their passion is birthed out of their own experience. I'm talking about Mo and Pindi, who have been with us before. Mo and Pindi are marriage strategists and mentors. They are founders of the Mo and Pindi Marriage Academy, a nonprofit organization dedicated to training, coaching, and mentoring couples, as well as working with various local churches in assisting them to set up and manage their own marriage ministries by providing training and customized ministry material. Mo and Pindi have been married for 14 years and have three children together, while Mo has another child from before their marriage. Welcome back to Focus on the Family, guys.
Thank you so much for having us.
It's good to be back.
Absolutely lovely.
Well, welcome back. And you guys have written another book, which will form the basis of our discussion today. And it's called Stuff We Wish We Knew Before Getting Married. And I like the subtitle, Real Lessons We've Had to Learn Along the Way. And this has obviously got merit for engaged or pre-married couples, but actually anyone and everyone can benefit because, as we've already said, we're all continuously learning on this journey of marriage, isn't that right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Marriage is a journey of learning. You see, we always say with Pindi, this is the only institution where you get your graduation certificate before you actually engage, you know, in it. You get your marriage certificate before. Usually when you get your certificate, it's after the exam.
That's impressive.
So and you learn on the job.
Learn on the job. And when we talk about stuff, real lessons we've had to learn along the way, and it's really about all of us as married people. You know, a lot of what we know about marriage, it's stuff that we've learned along the way. It doesn't matter. Sometimes it doesn't matter how much I've prepared myself or grown up in a family that is really a nucleus and a nuclear family, and mom and dad, they handle money in this particular way. And therefore, I'm going to take some of the lessons from there and take into my marriage. But now, if I'm married to someone whose family background is totally different from that, there's some stuff that you're going to have to learn along the way.
Well, I like how you kick off the book because you set something of a foundation, I think, when you talk about the purpose of marriage.
Yes.
And you speak about the fact that it's not about just happiness or procreation.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And not even character development. All those things are good.
Yeah.
But it really is about displaying His image and mirroring how he relates, Jesus relates to his bride, the church, us.
Yeah, we believe that we fail in really capturing what the purpose of marriage is, or why God created marriage in the first place, if we don't locate it, within the context of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and his church. I believe that the sooner we grasp that, if we could grasp that, if we could grasp how Christ relates to the church and how the church relates or should relate to Christ, I believe we've grasped the essence of marriage. Yeah. All the other stuff, you know, the children, character development, you know, procreation, recreation, and all of that, companionship and all of that, those really are pecks of marriage. Yeah. You know, those are things that we get as a result of being married. Mm. But you do know that there are marriages, there are childless marriages. You see, so if
there
my purpose, and they are still married. So if my purpose for getting married is children, then what are we saying to the couple that doesn't have children? Mm. You get what I'm saying? So the purpose for getting married has to be bigger than all these things. Mm. And I believe that it gets to that point where we understand how Christ relates to the church.
And it makes, I think, such a difference in how we do the practicals of marriage when we can start with that biblical worldview of the incredible gravity of marriage. That actually God created this institution partly also to be a better reflection of his own nature. and then uses this imagery of marriage to describe his relationship with us as well. I mean, it's so deep and profound. That then I think outworks itself when we're now engaging in marriage, that we can see it as a higher value than just, it's an arrangement that we have and a certificate that we got from the court. Is that right?
It's a lot bigger than that. We talk about the mystery of marriage, because marriage is a mystery, hey?
Yeah.
And you will not understand marriage until you really understand what that mystery is.
Yeah.
If you think about it, it's the first institution that was ever created. You know, all the other institutions that we see, like family, government, and all
church.
The other, and even church for that matter, those are things that came after the first institution, which is marriage. So that also speaks to the plan that God has, you know, for marriage. That is not just any other plan. God has a bigger purpose, has a bigger plan for people who are married. And I really think that that's what gives us comfort even when we're going through hard times, because we understand that it's a bigger purpose than what we see, you know, in front of us.
And I think the reality there is that if God created this institution for his beautiful purpose, there is an enemy that also sees the reflection of God within this institution. And he hates that. And so he wants to break this thing apart.
You know, certainly, when the enemy sees striving marriages, he's not happy. You know, I believe that God has a good purpose for our marriages, but there's also the enemy that wants to be part of that. You know, whilst God on the other side is trying to make things work and make things look good, the enemy wants to make things, you know, to break things in marriages. You know, even when we were going through challenges, we could tell that the enemy is not happy, obviously. You know, when you're trying to make things work, when you're trying to work at your relationship, there's somebody else who's whispering things in your ear, you know, almost telling you, you know, this is the time to give up on your marriage. So it's not easy. You know, you want to make things work, but also there's a challenge of the enemy on the other end who wants to destroy things.
You see, a marriage that does not have God at the center, we really believe it's a very risky marriage. Very risky in the sense that we rely on ourselves. You know, we rely on our reasoning. We rely on our attitudes and all, and those are unreliable. You know, they are not good enough basis for us to. I cannot rely on me, because a human being is unpredictable. you know, and let alone me relying on somebody else. And like they did Jesus, you know, before Jesus Christ was hung on the cross, they were hailing him as king, you know, in the triumphal entry. But that same day afternoon, they were saying, crucify him. You know, human beings, you know, we just can't rely on ourselves. So we need God as the center of us. So I'm saying a marriage that does not have God at the center, which again, speaks to the fact that this is an institution that God created for a specific purpose.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about your backgrounds, because your book is called Stuff We Wish We Knew Before Getting Married.
Yes.
And so we need to hear a little bit about the before you got married and the beginning of your marriage and how you learned some of these things along the way.
I always say Mo and I come from different backgrounds, but similar.
Yeah.
In a way. Why I say that, because I come from a what we call a nuclear family, you know, where there was a mom and a dad. Even though my dad obviously passed away later, when I was 10 years old, I divorced with my mom. So I have memories of being with their mom and a dad, but at the same time, I also have memories of them not being together because of the divorce. So I've experienced both, you know, those worlds. Whereas on the other hand, Mo was born outside of marriage and he has no connection really with marriage because both parents were never married, even though his dad married later on, but mom and dad were never together. In fact, the only father figure that he has is the grandfather who raised him, you know, so there was not a relationship with his dad. He only saw his dad twice in his life, and the second time, I think, was after we were married in 2006, and that was the last time.
And I think, just to interrupt there, it's important to maybe just emphasize that point. I think because it is the reality for so many people in South Africa, when we look at the statistics, it's actually the majority of youth that are growing up, that have been born outside of wedlock, that are growing up maybe with a single mom, but certainly missing that father figure.
Yeah.
And certainly, as we talk about marriage from a focus perspective, one of our big aims is to be promoting the value of marriage. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. 62% of children born today in South Africa, they are born, the stat says, in the absence of the father. And it may be that the father has passed away during pregnancy, but the majority is that the father is there, you know, but not present. And that means that as it stands, 62% of children are growing in an environment, in a fatherless environment.
A fatherless environment and also an environment, as you pointed out, without a model for marriage.
There you go. There you go. And how, see, it's not all of us that would adopt an attitude, a positive attitude, having come from that broken background. A lot of us, you know, we become statistics. A lot of us land up in jail. A lot of us drop out of school. A lot of us, you know, we become menace to society. And it's really few of us who say, look, you know, that's not the road I'm going to take.
You
know, I'm going to take this road. And I believe in family. I believe in, you know, there will be lapses, you know, especially at the beginning. There will be lapses because you really never grasp the value of this whole thing. You know, about marriage and all, you, it really doesn't have that much, the meaning does not resonate, you know, a lot with you. But at the end of the day, if you adopt this attitude, and that's why I always say, without God in your life, you know, because you see, God always, through his word, redirects and changes destinies. He redirects the way we look at things. He changes worldviews. And you begin to see things, you know, maybe not 100%, but certainly the way God looks at things. Mm-hmm. You know, if you talk about marriage being an institution that mm-hmm. God created, you cannot, as a committed believer, you cannot but look at marriage in that way. Mm-hmm. And that will mean that you have to let go of your past and fine, take some lessons from it, but there is a way that God has mm. set. Mm. You know, Pindi talked about the mystery, you know, and so on. And, you know, being students of one another, you know, in marriage, you pick up a lot of things along the way.
You speak about oneness or unity.
Yes.
And some of those principles that apply when it comes to unity, because I think it's such a vital, I mean, it is part of that reflecting of the image of God.
Yes.
That God has within the Trinity, these three distinct persons, but also a complete unity that exists.
Mm.
And that's something of what the stamp is upon us and within marriage. Talk a little bit about some of those principles, priority and yes. chasing and yes. intimacy.
Yes. What we call the foundation, foundational principle of marriage, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. You know, the Bible says that for this cause, for this reason, shall a man leave his mother and father and be joined or cleave, you know, to his wife, and the two shall become one. And then it goes on, verse 24-25 says, you know, and the two, the man and the woman, were naked and they were not ashamed. Mm. See, oneness is an achievement of a number of things, and very clearly there's the principle of leaving, you know, the principle. And it's interesting because when you look into that, it's almost like a progression. It says first you need to cleave, you need to leave. Second you cleave, then you become one. It's almost like a progression, so that you cannot be one without leaving. You cannot be one without cleaving. Mm. You know, so it's almost like this is the first step, this is the second step, this is the third step. In other words, there's a progression, there's a process to becoming one. And this we see in weddings. A lot of us, you know, when we get married, we talk about, okay, now we are one, because we are married, you know, on the wedding day. and we now have wised up a little, you know, to say, no, you're not yet. You know, there's a process, you know, there's a process of leaving, you know, to leave your mother and father. And when it talks about your mother and father, it really, I believe, talks about your history. It talks about anything that you've been attached to other than your spouse. It can be your career. It can be friendships. It can be, and leaving does not necessarily mean you turn your back on them. In other words, you forsake them. But it just means you have now different priority. And that is the third family. You know, in our African culture, there's always this thing about, you know, marriage is a joining of two families. And we used to believe that quite a lot. But we wised up to say, no, it's not. It's not a joining of two. It's the building of a new family. You know, there's now
there's a third one.
There's a third family. There's that family. There's that. And there's us. In other words, we establish our own culture. In other words, that's the process of cleaving, you know, to in order to become one.
And I like how you said it's a process. We spoke last year at an event, and I quoted some research that I'd found that said it takes about 12 years they've shown to reach this level of unity. And it can be a little bit of a tough one for people to swallow that are still at the 3 or 4 year mark.
But we're still there at the beginner stage.
Exactly.
You know, it's amazing. And you mentioned intimacy, priority and intimacy. Obviously, priority more has what he has touched on to say, when you leave, you are basically saying, now I'm going to prioritize you. You know, I'm going to make you. But for you to get into that intimacy stage, and it's amazing because you don't get into the intimacy stage unless you leave so that you can cleave, because that's where the intimacy will begin,
yes,
at the point of cleaving.
Yeah.
You know, so these processes are very important because we all want to get to that oneness stage.
Yeah.
But I think it was a revelation for us to understand that oneness is not just
doesn't just happen.
Doesn't just happen. Mm. You know, there's steps, there's work. We're going back to that word.
Mm.
You know, there's work, there's processes that need to be followed. Because we've met a lot of couples who will say, we're not connecting. I feel like we're not there, you know. But then when you go back and you check, you know, have you left?
Yeah.
You actually find that, no, they haven't left. You know, the guy is still doing his single duties. He's still
living his single life, yeah.
Still living his single life in a marriage.
Yeah.
And that becomes a problem because now you can't get to a point where you can cleave with your partner because you still haven't left so many things that were part of your single life.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's not necessarily your parents per se, but it could be a lifestyle, you know, that you had before you got married. You still living as a single person within a marriage.
But it can be parents.
Oh, yes.
Definitely.
No, definitely.
And listening to parents above listening to your spouse.
Listen, that is
all your advice
from mom
and then come back to your husband and say, my mom said.
Yes.
That's the worst statement. That's the worst opening. You know, my mom said, oh, Lord. You see, the other thing is about not leaving parents. It's really about stuff that we deal with or that we talk about at home, and the next thing I hear, I'm being asked, you know, your mom is, you know, would call me and ask me about what we spoke about, you know,
as
the
couple,
two of
yeah.
us as a couple, you know. So there are all these, and I think the other thing is one of the things that creates oneness, and it's embedded in the principles, you know, of cleaving. It's really about the times and the cycles, you know, that we go through in our relationship, in our marriage. You know, tough times can, you know, bring you together. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I believe they are meant to bring you together, you know, and don't drive
you
apart. Because oneness is achieved at the point where we actually say, not only have I left, not only have I cleaved, but in the process of cleaving, you know, I'm able to understand you. It may not be 100%, but certainly in a certain area, you know,
you're getting better.
We're getting better, you know, and we get something to build on, you know, in terms of the seasons we go through.
You speak about being in love is not enough.
Ooh.
And I think that's a powerful statement, but maybe we'll rock someone listening to that thinking, surely that's, I mean, all the songs will tell you love is all you need.
We've been to seminars where you mentioned that. In fact, we were in a youth seminar.
Yes.
We said that and young people were like, what more do I need?
Yeah.
Love is enough. But we are not saying love is not important.
It's not necessary.
But we are saying love someone, but when that love it doesn't feel the same way, it's not reason for you to leave. If you don't feel butterflies anymore, if you don't have, you know, that feeling that you used to have.
The feelings Pindi always have in our last 14 years.
You know, those feelings. You don't have to pack your bags.
Yeah.
You know, rework that. Try and cultivate those feelings again. Try and work at your relationship. Go on dates. You know, do stuff that will bring those feelings back again or that will put you back in that position. But don't just pack your bags because
you no longer feel the same.
So in with that, we are saying love alone is not going to carry you through.
Yeah.
You need more than just love. You need to be committed to this person.
Yeah.
You need to be there. You need to be present,
mm-hmm.
you know, and commitment.
Yeah. So we're also saying that romantic love is a very bad foundation for marriage. We believe that love is born out of a covenant. If the scripture says that love is patient, love is kind, love does not keep the record of wrongs and all those things in First Corinthians, more often than not, those are things you learn in marriage than before marriage. And being patient with somebody, being not jealous and all of those kind of things, those are things that, and also the other thing is that when we, if marriage is a picture or an image of how God relates to the church. The church never loved God before the cross. You know, we loved God after we realized how much God loved us. Mm-hmm. And because of the covenant that God entered with himself on the cross, now we can like, wow, this is how much God loves me. I give myself fully. I give, you know, so love is born out of a covenant. That's really the basis of that statement.
I think it's got a lot to do with the definition of love.
Yes.
And I like how you said being in love, or maybe it should be the feeling of love. Because that's how people say, oh, I love this flavor of ice cream. But, but when it comes to marriage, it's about patience and kindness.
It's a lot deeper.
It's a whole lot deeper. And sacrifice and... I really appreciate that. Mohan Pindi, we are already out of time. Would you stick with us and maybe we could ask a few more questions around the issue of stuff you wish you had learned, and I know our listeners would want to hear from you.
Yes,
that can help them in their journey of marriage.
Absolutely.
Certainly. Thanks so much, Mohan Pindi.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you so much.
What I really appreciated about our conversation with Mohan Pindi was their absolute realness and how they hit on marital problems that are universal to marriage, but also issues that pertain to South African culture. I hope you were enlightened and encouraged by what Mohan Pindi shared today, and that you'll think about areas of your marriage that could do with some work. In their book, Stuff We Wish We Knew Before We Got Married, Mohan Pindi share 13 things they wish they'd known before they got married, including topics like God's original design and purpose for marriage does not change, moving from being in love to love, and conflict in marriage. You can find this new release when you visit our online store at safamily.co.za or give us a call on 031 716 3300. We're going to continue the conversation with Mohan Pindi tomorrow, so I hope that you'll join us for that. For Focus on the Family Africa, I'm Alison Schnell, inviting you back then, when we'll once again help you and your family thrive in Christ.